to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Welcome to the Resettlement Radio. This is Galuachul, your presenter for the day. And this is Resettlement Radio brought to you live. And you're listening to Lucky Dube. We will be back to you. Welcome back. Welcome back to Resettlement Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. In the studio today, I'm Galuachul and my colleague.
And Hannah Gumesa.
Yep. We have a lot to discuss today. First things first, today is Labor Day.
Labor weekend.
Labor weekend. I think it's going to be a long weekend.
Yeah.
And before we go to any programs, I think we have to announce our announcements. We have a lot to come. I remember we made a lot of announcements last week, but, you know, our flood is so full. So, yeah. What do we have, Mr. Enoch? Maybe on what? This week?
Yeah, we need to start with the AGM monthly meeting. Mm-hmm. That will be taking place on... what is the place? Is that
I think it's going to take place in YMCA, Mount Albert.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
the usual
gonna
place.
So it's going to be this Friday?
Yeah, this Friday on 27.
27.
Yeah, this Friday from 5:30
yep.
to 8.
Yeah.
So if you don't know where YMCA Mount Albert is, you can give us a call at ARCC 846-0110. So, as
we said last time, this is a very important gathering, a very important meeting for the resettled community, because a lot of issues are going to be tabled there for discussion. So, yeah, it's a very important event, I would say.
Yeah, that's what will happen. If you don't know where this YMCA Mount Albert is located, please, you can drop in by our office, or you can give us a call, or you can email us at admin@arcc.org.nz. And following that, we will have the summit.
Yeah, exactly. The coming after a week.
Yeah, after a week.
After a week. The next Friday, we're going to have AGM summit or AGM meeting, and then the following week, we're going to have the summit.
Yep. For the AGM, what it means for us to have an AGM is, you know, we come once a year and then we reflect back of what we have done and a lot of reporting. And this is where the ICC board will come in, and community leaders are part of this process. So they have a say in this, because they are the board of ARCC. Without ARCC, without them, there is no ARCC. So ARCC is a community-based organization. So it's a community non-profit agency. And what we experience in the community, so it's the business of the community leaders to bring it forward. And if there's any action to be taken, that's where the board and the staff and the volunteers will come in. So it's a collective work for everybody. So it's a good place to be. So if you're a member of the resettlement community, you don't need an invite. You just come in, as long as you know the location.
It's your meeting.
Yeah, it's your meeting. It's for you, you know.
Yeah. We would like to tell you, just take it serious and be presenters there.
Yep.
And then you'll learn a lot about, you know, the reporters on different projectors we've been coming across.
Yeah.
Especially, I think you are the one who is, you know, more connected to the community. So, it's better to have explanation from you.
Yeah. Actually, you know, the first AGM that I attended, I think it was in 2016, so I did not know a lot by then. I thought I knew a lot, but, you know, when I went to AGM, so it was, like, so huge. So there are a lot of things to learn from those reports, you know. It's like all the reports combined together, you know, a kind of a network. And it's not only one-man report, but they are combined together. They come from any angle. So I think this is very important. So if you are a member of the resettlement communities, you don't need an invite. You just come in to YMCA Mount Albert. It's the same thing that will happen to our summit. Our summit, Mr. Enoch, you know, you have been through this from the initial meetings and, you know, the steering committee, and there's a lot of work involved.
Yeah, definitely. This time I would speak about that summit, because, yeah, as you've said, I've been with, you know, the members of the steering group, which we've got like the Auckland Resettled Sector Steering Group, Committee.
Yeah.
That is mainly a combination of those key organizations operating in the resettlement sector, like Red Cross New Zealand, ARMS, Auckland Regional Migrant Service, ARCC, as a driving force behind. Mm. So, it's a very important summit, I would say, and it's is a new and it's a kind of big event in its kind.
It
brings together all those stakeholders from the resettlement background.
Yeah.
So a range of things would be tabled for discussion as well. We've got a couple of workshops. We've got a co-facilitator and a facilitator as well. It's a well-experienced one. So, yeah, a lot of things would happen that day.
How do you feel like someone who has been part of this? I know it's your first time to get involved in such a thing, but
it's something really pleasurable, like something big. Like, you know, the first time when Mr. Urban asked me to take that responsibility in dealing with all those things ahead of the summit, like, wow. And I was a bit afraid of that, you know, taking that responsibility because I've never been with the RCC for a long period of time. I'm not that much experienced, but, you know, I'm part of the community, so as you've said it well, like, you know, ARCC is all about community, so we are part of a community. Even if you're not part of ARCC,
if you are part of the community, then you are part of ARCC.
Yeah. So because of that, like, you know, yeah, things are becoming a bit smooth now, so that, we're gonna do it. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, very good, very good. You know, that's why they say you will learn on the job.
Yes.
The moment you get in
on
it.
Practice.
Yeah. We learn on practice.
Yes, a good experience.
I think it's going to be a different one. Last time we had the summit, this is where we launched Beyond Refuge, the first book. It was launched last year. But it was not like a summit. It was like combined, the summit and the ARCC 11th anniversary. I mean, 10 years anniversary. They were all combined together. But this time it's going to be different. It's unique in a way that it involves the workshops.
Yeah. The most important thing about this event is we got a couple of guest speakers from different sectors. It's expected to keep, like, as a sacred, you know, where these people are coming from. These people have got a lot of things to tell for people from, you know, resettlement background. Yeah, so we would ask you to get ready and be presented on that day. It's on November the 2nd of 2017, and the venue is Mount Eden World Memorial Hall. Be tuned.
We have a lot. This is a busy time, really.
Pretty busy.
See everyone, like, we have a sport team, you know, down
the
toes.
We're at the peak of RCC calendar.
The peak of RCC. I think our calendar is overflowing.
Yeah.
We have a women group. Mm-hmm. We have Asia getting busy with the driving school thing.
Yeah, wow. And we would like to applaud, like, now, get appreciation for Asia. She's been doing really great.
Yeah, she's been doing really well.
And it's very important project, I would say.
Yeah, and also, if you know anybody who can help, because ARCC is offering a school, free school driving. But we lack people who can help in terms of driving, who can help. You know, all we need is to offer you a free time. We don't have condition for that. You know, whatever time is free for you, you can offer it, whether it's 1 hour, 30 minutes. So we appreciate that. And we need more people to help. You know, we have a resettlement community. We came from a different environment where we are not used to drive cars. But once we get in here, it's a different experience altogether.
Totally different. So, Auckland is a place to drive, really.
I remember one Sudanese guy in Minnesota was saying, I was okay with my cars and I thought they would give me a headache, but now car is the worst car.
Yeah.
A car is the worst cow. That's how we put it.
Car. Interesting.
So, okay, we will play you a music here, and then we will come back and talk to you about many things that we want to...
Yeah, stay tuned.
Stay tuned, don't go away, please.
Come on. Felipe Kumi.
Listening to Rasatal Radio live in the studio is Gadwa Shol and
Hinak Mesa,
and this is our musician Kofi Olomide.
Yeah, West Africa. Yep.
Yep. Congolese. I think Congolese. He's from Congo.
Congolese is in the Central Africa.
They don't even know. They say it's central, sometimes in the north, sometimes the part of the east as well. But geographically, it's central.
Eastern central.
Yeah, I think it's central. Because it's too big, it occupies a lot of space. So they don't know, but it's the heart of Africa. That's how people call it.
Yeah, they're best known for their diamond music, amazing music.
For music.
I really like Papa Wemba. He's my idol.
Yeah, I think we have it. Yeah, we will play it later. Last time you asked for it, but I didn't pay attention.
But let's talk about something interesting in this country.
The highlight of the day.
Of New Zealand.
The highlight of the day. Labor Day with Labor Party in power. How about that?
Let me ask you, because I'm a bit not familiar with this country's politics. Let me ask
me
you,
too.
Because you've been here for
a year.
A year and more. You're the one to start about that.
Oh, man. So now we have a new leadership. We have, they say what, a new sheriff in town. So now we have Jacinda Ardern as the new Prime Minister of New Zealand. so exciting.
Yeah. So exciting at the same time, so frustrating, like for many of people here, including myself. We, you know, it took pretty long time to have a new government.
Yeah,
you know, the election held before a month. I think it was on 23rd of September.
Yeah, 23rd of September.
Yeah, now we are on
21,
almost,
20, 20.
Almost
yeah.
1 month.
Yeah.
So, it took a pretty long time, and that was a bit frustrating for me and for many of the voters as well. Yeah, but at the end of the day, like, this is, you know, the politics that we've seen in the developed world, you know. You know, it's not something, it's a very serious business, actually. It's what maybe, or probably that is a more serious business, I would say.
Yeah. I think to me it's so exciting in the sense that the voters have exercised their rights. And this is what we have been telling them all along. You know, this is your vote. It's going to be counted and it's going to be safe. And after all, you know, you have this pride that you have never exercised in the rest of your life where you came from. I know one guy from the resettlement community asked, these people, it seems like I'm waiting. I think they will be fighting. I say, no, sir, people don't fight here for the election cases, but this is the case of where we came from. If this is where we come from, you know, it would be like we don't even know who will be the winner because the incumbent is always the winner.
Yeah, like as an African man or as an African, as an African people, like, you know, it gives us a kind of excitement or a kind of weird feeling towards what we call politics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what we have seen here is totally different. You know, you can't have even, you know, a word to express
like,
this is something serious business, and people took it really serious. And the whole process from the beginning, from the day one, that day was a polling day. Like, people went to the polling station, they casted their vote.
They casted their vote.
Yeah, the ballots, like, you know, so it took pretty long process, but it was not because because of, like, something which you don't solve. Because thing should must be done, you know, properly. You know, up to the expectation.
I think this is where the best side of it comes from. It's not about the end result of it, but it's all about how it is conducted in a free and fair manner. And you know, people like us, I think we are blessed to be in this country where we learn a lot of things that we can take back home next time. Even though it would be a huge task to implement it there, where you know you are just one in a million. But I think it has given us a different perspective of seeing things, you know, being done in a free and fair manner. I was really blown away by the way they have conducted the election, and I have been to many elections. I have voted in different countries, but I have never seen a country coming to a stalemate because of, you know, the votes they're not fulfilled. What they are, I don't know how do they call it, the fulfillment of the requirement of what is needed to be a prime minister or president or, you know, control of the parliament. But I think they conduct it in a way that, you know, that the law wants. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what makes me so amazed about this process, you know, this election in New Zealand 2017, is I've never been introduced to MMP, you know, that is mixed members of parliament.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that is the case behind sort of, you know, frustrations and, like, waiters. It's just because, like, every country has its own system, kind of politics, you know, to run. And so New Zealand has got something very exciting. I think only a few countries in the world follow this kind of politics, like what we call MMP. So I think that is the reason, like, on the first day of the vote, like, we've been seeing that National was flying over Labour because they got almost 44.5% of the general vote. That means, like, more than a million people in New Zealand voted for National. But, you know, at the end of the day, as the Australian newspaper said that, like, you know, the losers became
the losers became the winner.
Yeah. Anyway, it's really interesting.
It is very interesting. I think New Zealand has just a small country in size, but it has a big responsibility. And I think New Zealand has got a good name now in the world, shaping the democracy. Not a lot of countries are doing this. I know some countries are good, but, you know, being in New Zealand, I think this is a new thing.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal one, really.
Yeah.
Including, like, Jacinda Ardern, the youngest prime minister, mm-hmm. To be leading New Zealand for the coming 3 years or more. We don't know.
I know that day, I think we were in the office, and then before I went home, I did not know what is happening. And then I got a lot of phone calls from the States, from the Canada, from next door here in Australia. Oh, really? They say, Jacinda won.
Yeah,
oh,
but to your surprise, Donald Trump didn't call her. The White House called her, but it was not Donald Trump.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. I love it.
It would be politics as usual.
Yeah.
And then we have a long weekend because of the Labor Day and Labor Party in the power. And, you know, I don't know what will be happening in the resettlement community. We should have brought some community leaders along, but we did not plan this in advance. You know, what they will be doing. But I remember we have some activities, community activities. We have a Myanmar Harvest Festival on Monday. So Myanmar Harvest Festival on Monday will kick off from 2 p.m. to 5. So if you want an ethnic cultural performances, this is where you're going to go. I'm not sure of the address, but you can call us. You can email admin@arcc.org.nz, and then we will give you the directions. We don't have the directions yet. But
yeah, or the easiest thing is, like, if you are following us on Facebook, we can update you.
Yeah, that's right.
All those programs on Facebook, so that you can.
Yeah, we always update our Facebook.
Yeah,
so
definitely. Would
yeah,
be
yeah. So this is the best.
I myself will be there because it's going to be my first ever attendance to this kind of cultural performance.
Cultural performance. I think they will do it in GI, right? Glen Innes, or where? I think it's Glen Innes.
Yeah, probably those communities are living that.
Yeah, that's Glen Innes. That's where they're going to do it. And, yeah, it's a long weekend. It's good to do something at least. And I think that there's another community who is in the Burmese community who is doing also the same thing. I think they are doing it separately. I don't know. Is it the one doing it on Monday is Zo community? And the one who is doing it, I think it's today or tomorrow. I'm not sure. But I think it's tomorrow, Sunday. It's going to be a Zomi community. So it's the Zomi and Zo community get confused.
Yeah, but all about Asian culture.
It's all about Burmese culture.
Burmese culture.
Yeah, Harvest Festival. You know.
Interesting. I like
it. When you have good crops at the end of the year, and then you give thanks, you know, this is what they do.
But I knew some African countries that have that harvest kind of
harvest
festival.
Now
in my country has one, of course, it's not something you see on the streets in the cities, but in many part of country.
I think it's a part of African culture too.
It should be different, of course.
It's different from one country to another, how they handle
continent
it.
continent to continent
But the Burmese one, they do it 3 days in a row.
Wow.
And so what they will be doing on Monday, that's the final one. So there are many, 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 many things in between. And then the final one would be the biggest one.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Probably we'll bring in those organizers, probably, or leaders of the community.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey will come here. Yeah, we will bring Jeffrey to the studio here.
He'll
will explain what it's all about. And, this is good. And so one of the questions ARCC has always been asking is, people talk about refugees and the crisis of the refugees and, you know, the humanitarian crisis. But why the world is not addressing the root causes of refugees?
That should be a billion-dollar question.
This should be a billion-dollar question. And one of our next topic is, you know, we are expecting a lot of refugees because now the situation is not calm, especially in East Africa. Now in Kenya, the atmosphere is not safe, and in Ethiopia as well.
Yeah.
And you cannot talk about South Sudan because it has been a refugee land.
Yes.
So, this is one of the things that we will talk about when we come back. So let's play you a little music here, and then we will...
We'll come back.
We will come back to you, and then stay tuned.
If I know see my journey, I'm looking for my journey. I'm looking for my honey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're telling me this, you're telling me that. I say this is not for me. Johnny do me corny.
Johnny
do me corny. He's doing me this, he's doing me that. But I know what's him on me. He go Canada, he go Tokyo. Yesterday he say he de Morocco. He dance this Igbo, he sing a Wilo. Na lie, na Pinocchio. This one I go be. I got original go be. If I know see my journey, he get a dollar, he get a hummer, he drink for me with patience and Jonah, he get to rumble, he get to photo, or they lie, they show photo.
That is Yemi Alade from, I think it's from...
It should be South Africa?
I thought from Nigeria.
Nigeria, West Africa still.
We are still in the West. We are not back to the East yet.
Yeah, we need to.
Or maybe we'll cross to Asia.
Yeah, definitely.
Or to Middle East.
Yeah.
Let's cross the Red Sea. Yep, welcome back. You are listening to Russell Radio Live, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. On the studio is Galuaxiol and
Hinok Mesa.
Yeah, we addressed a question before, a million-dollar question. Why the world is talking about refugee crisis, humanitarian disaster, not addressing the root causes of what brought all those disasters? And this is one of the questions that ARCC has been asking in every forum and every conference and in every summit. And now what we are hearing from East Africa is not very encouraging. Sorry for that. We are, you know, the environment in both countries, two neighboring countries, Kenya and Ethiopia, is not very encouraging. And, you know, I don't know whether one caused the other or they have different ways of, you know, erupting. I don't know, but the situation is calling for more crisis.
Definitely, I agree with you. But before we jump into that, we have to say congratulations to Labour-led coalition government.
Oh, yeah.
In New Zealand.
That's yeah. Something we forgot about.
Yeah, we have to wish them the best.
we wish the Labour the best in this Labour weekend.
Yeah, at the same time, we have to consult the National Party as well, because, they did their best, and I was listening to what Billy English said, the outgoing prime minister telling the media, like, well, I like the way he reacted, you know, to this failure, I would say failure, because, they won the general vote, you know, much of the vote, but they lose it at the end of the day. Anyway, what he said was, we're going to be the strongest position ever seen in the
parliament. Oh, yeah.
So that is really sweet, you know, the sweetest thing I really like from this scenario. And because, you know, for me, like, as an African, we don't see or we don't hear this kind of strongest, you know, voice coming out of the one who's defeated or who's...
No, they don't come out.
Yeah.
Always so, they're the ones being, you know, hunted.
Yeah,
you
know, and probably, like, it would lead into a kind of maze, even.
Oh, yeah, mayhem.
Very devastating kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, this is something that touched me, you know, a lot. So I would say really... that's great, the great thing or great reaction from the great leader. And you got 3 years to oppose or to do whatever you think is best to make, you know, to come back, and then hopefully you'll do that. And I think something that makes this cabinet, you see in the Ardern cabinet, something different from other cabinets in New Zealand history should be something which we didn't talk about. What is that? Can you imagine?
I did a little survey in the community, and, you know, based on the people I know, I said, hey, now National is out and then Labour is in, and what are your expectations? What do you expect? And then a lot of them say housing.
Yeah.
A lot of them housing. They have a lot of hope in Labour Party to solve the housing problems.
Yeah, and housing has been, you know, a headache for many of resettled people in the communities. So we'll see.
And some of them, they say, you know, I think Labour is well aligned with immigration, with the way we came here. I think maybe the refugee quota will be increased. I know it was increased from 750 to 1,000. That's a national government. That's good job on national government. But I don't know what the new prime minister will offer. But in a former refugee communities, they still think Labour Party will bring more refugees in here. You know, we have a lot of people here who are not connected with loved ones. And, you know, when you are in this country alone, this is where the problems started, you know, depression and all of that. And it's all about the loneliness. So if the families are allowed to reunify, you know, to make a family reunification a priority, I think that would be great. But I don't know. I don't know whether the Labour Party will play that card or not. I don't know what is on the plate.
Yeah, but the most interesting fact about this new cabinet, it's going to be the resettled community will have one voice in the parliament, and that is Miss Krishnan of Iran.
Oh, yes, sure.
from sure. Iran community. Yeah. Yeah, so that is something fascinating. I think that is most interesting part of
it. I think she has been amazing.
Yeah, and she'll do it. And the best, and she'll perform the best. We hope that.
And this is what you can do in this country. This is the opportunity that we get in this country, that it doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter how you look like, it doesn't matter how your skin color is, you are a New Zealander, and you can make it to the parliament.
Yep.
You know, it is all what you offer. You know, it's not about what history you carry. No, it's not about the burden you have on your back. It's about what you're going to offer to this country. You are as part of its citizen.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're waiting to see this new parliament, the new cabinet, with a single or one one member of parliament representing
the resident community. That's now we have a voice
really
in the parliament.
Yeah.
That's really good. I think that's
really
very encouraging. You know,
for
our people.
And strongest opposition as well. As being able to say.
I think it's going to be so tough. Especially for Labour Party.
We'll see.
Bill English will be a very strong position. Opposition, of course, but I'm happy with the message that he delivered. You know, that's a statesmanship message. You know, it
exactly.
came out very clearly. You know, he wished them the best.
Yeah, we hope that he's not going to step down as a national leader.
Mm.
So yeah, we'll see now how National will handle this problem.
Mm.
Yeah.
So now. What is happening in Ethiopia and Kenya? A lot of crisis. We finished peaceful election in New Zealand, and in Kenya, which would have been handled the same way New Zealand has handled the election, when there is a stalemate, we go back to the ballot boxes or we go back to the right channels, you know, where to the laws where it will be decided who will be leading the election. But it's not the case in Kenya. The election was stolen. That's the case. The Kenya Supreme Court came out. You know, it was stolen. So it has to be redone. See,
Mr. Gat, like, you know, before we talk about that as well, like, you know, this week has never been as good as before, you know, because we lost more than 300 people in Mogadishu, in Somalia, there was an explosion, from a truck, which killed, like, more than 300 people. It's really painful. We have to give our support for the people there and for the Somalian community in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Generally, you know, things were not good for East Africa last week. You know, we saw this very devastating kind of news coming out of Somalia.
Mm.
At the same time, we heard that the Kenyans' re-election or rerun is not going well because of, you know, such atrocities taking place in Nairobi and other cities in Kenya. And at the same time, we're not seeing anything good coming out of Ethiopia as well. Like, you know, people are still protesting in the vast region of Oromia.
Yeah.
They are still demanding the resignation of
the current
party. Yeah, the party itself. Because, you know, people have almost, you know, given up. Like, you know, they don't have any trust in that government because it's not delivering on the promises. It's a federally democratic front when they came to power, but they are not delivering on their promises. So things are becoming very deteriorating there. So people are demanding for the resignation of the party. And their peaceful demonstration is not handled well. You know,
it might spark a different angle of violence.
Even last week, I think the United States Embassy issued that the peaceful demonstration are being, cracked down by, you know,
by the government.
Yeah, and that shouldn't be done.
That should have been not the case.
Happen. Mm. Yeah, so because, you know, it's going a bit, you know. Untactful, like, you know, you don't deal with this kind of problems.
What is breaking many hearts here, Mr. Enoch, is the way East Africa has been exposed to violence by the leaders of East Africa. IGAD, the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, that group that call themselves IGAD leaders are the ones responsible for all this, because we are from East Africa. That way we know them. But for those who do not know them, that's where they need explanation as to what is happening in the East Africa. So we have people who have been in power for like more than 30 years. So like if you have ruled a country for about 30, 35, 40 years and then you are still in power and you are telling people you have a lot of more dreams that you want to deliver that you have never delivered in the last 30 to 40 years, come on.
That's ridiculous.
Come on. This is
absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And now, there's no South Sudan now. So Uganda, they already officially declared Uganda is hosting 1 million South Sudanese refugees now. And Ethiopia nearly is going to be 1 million soon. I think it's about 800-something thousand. So it might have gotten into that level too, but we don't know yet. And so if we have crisis in Ethiopia, where will people go? And Kenya is not even stable, you know. So this is a man-made disaster, actually, and it's going to happen. Because when I listen to many radios in the East Africa, you know, the tune is telling that there's no escape. It's going to happen.
Yeah, Mr. Gadlock, we both are, as an East African, we have that concern. Like, for example, if you ask me about all those, you know, deteriorating things in East Africa, probably will lead into a kind of a catastrophe that has never been seen before. Like, you know, what we don't have to forget is that this East Africa, the Horn of Africa, is one of those most volatile regions across the world, across the globe. So if that stability, having a strong democratic central government in a place, so you can never imagine or you can never expect a kind of stability, you know, coming into that part of the world.
Yeah.
So we're really concerned about that. I myself really have a big fear that things will go out of control.
It's actually very heartbreaking, actually, to say the least. What caused the Kenyan instability, I hope it will not go the way we think, it's just a simple election. They have two candidates, Raila Amolo Odinga and President Uhuru Kenyatta. So these two candidates went to the ballot, and history tells that Kenya has never had a very smooth election apart from 2002, where there was a change of guards. You know, when they sent home Daniel Arap Moi and then opposition came into power, that was the only free and fair election being run in Kenya. But after that, no. If you see, most of those people were those who were in KANU with Daniel Arap Moi, but they came out again in a different outfit, you know. They named themselves opposition, but opposition from where? Still, they carry that mentality of intimidating voters. I saw a newscast in Kenya television network where the incumbent president sent troops to kill people in Siaya, in Western Kenya, where Odinga came from. 23 already died, you know, and they are mourning them today. So these are just ordinary people who want to exercise their right. And now, you know, the government is there killing them. And so the mood is that the general public is not happy in that region. And so we don't even know what will be the reaction. Maybe they will defend, like they are saying, we have to defend our rights, we have to defend our constitutional rights and, you know, what we have exercised. So I don't know. I don't know where we will go from there. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. I hope nothing is going to happen to Kenya and Ethiopia, because where will we host all those? Let's say for the case of Ethiopia, about 86 million people to be hosted by a country with only 9 or 10 million population. It cannot happen.
Yeah, you can't imagine. This is really hard. Yeah. Yeah, especially when you came to the Kenyan one, like, you know, because they are going to have that re-election in a few days, I think, with their...
They are still, you know, disputing that. There are three ways of this now. It was the timeline was this month 26. So it's already passed.
It's already passed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I read about the re-election is just, I think the government is already... putting everything in place to do the re-election, but things are not solved. Like, especially the opposition concerned about the change in the commission, the election
electoral commission of Kenya is not yet achieved or not yet realized.
So, you know, having that that in place, you know, without any change, so I don't think it's going to be any change coming out of this re-election.
And now also, it's affecting the refugee camps, because I got some relatives, they say they have never received a food ration now for a month. They are going to second month now, there's no food. So because of this election crisis, you know, it has blocked everything. The food aid is not going to refugee camps. And we don't know what will happen next, because, you know, there's no way forward. You know, so where will they go? These are the people who fled violence from South Sudan, and now they are dying of hunger. So where will they go after that? You know, you cannot go back to where you fled violence. Of course, you're going to die. It's like you are digging your grave knowingly. But where will they go? Because this is the only thing. I mean, the only place they think is safe, but it's not safe for them anymore. So where will they go? That's the problem. That's the question.
Yeah, that is the biggest concern I have as well, because for the past decade, you know, that Kenya and Ethiopia have been relatively peaceful and stable, and that brought a big appreciation or encouragement from, you know, across the world, because, you know, that area was not, or that region was not, or had never been that peaceful before, because, you know, civil war, drought, famine, but still we're going into that path, you know, that circle. So it's not feeling really good. So I think the people are frustrating, and people are hoping that they could see a change in a democratic kind of government system put in place to do things, you know, much comfortably. But this time, you know, I don't think, you know, things are changing.
Yeah, it's all about the suffering of the common man, in a way, because it will come. Yeah, and it will come down.
It directly impacts on refugees across the region, like Kenya has got, you know, very large number of refugees.
And Kenya is hosting
campus.
It is hosting, like Dadaab and, you know, Agadera, Ifo, you know, Kakuma, Mandera too. It has a camp there. Now, a lot of issues.
And yeah, the same is true with Ethiopia.
They have a lot of Eritrean
refugees, Somali refugees.
Somali refugees, Sudanese refugees, South Sudanese refugees, Congolese.
It's really terrible.
It's going to be a disaster, and I hope something must be done to stop all this, because it will be a disaster if it happens. I hope not, because there's no other way you can be, you know, a refugee within where you fled. There's no way. Actually, in South Sudan, they already said 4 million people already displaced in their homes. So they are internally displaced people. They're not part of the equation of the refugees. So if you, these people, if they receive refugees from another country, that's a total mess already.
Definitely. Total mess. Yeah. Why we bring in this issue into studio is because, you know, when we live outside of a country, we're in a very peaceful place like New Zealand, you know, having this freedom, this great place, you know, to exercise your free expression, freedom of expression, then we need to promote that peace, that peaceful kind of freedom of expression in the countries we left behind. So, yeah, we need to promote, you know, all those good practices or democratic practices to be disseminating across our countries or our regions, you know, from the countries we left behind. So, yeah, let's have a voice and let's do something good, like promoting those democratic values and freedom of expressions, so that maybe we can influence the governments, we can influence the policymakers, we can influence the international community to do something based.
So, curbing all those problems, refugee crisis is a long story and it will never end, and we can talk about it for a long time. But it's very important, you know, to highlight what are the problems causing this mass movements of refugees getting out of their countries, because you cannot address a refugee crisis without addressing the root causes of the problem. So we will leave you. It comes to the end of the time for this studio, but we will come back next week and we will discuss more on various topics. And
after the AGM meeting, definitely.
Yeah, and of course, we will come with
highlights.
We will give you some highlights. Cool. Please follow us on Facebook and get in touch with us.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good one. This is music from Syria. Enjoy.
ضرب الشام نشهد له هذا العنوان ضرب الشام يا عالم عالم مبروك المنتدى والعالم كله يهنوك خمسين ألف عضو كلها يحيوك ضرب الشام وعنيت وعيش يا اخوان ضرب الشام وحبيت وعنه وماتوا ضرب الشام وحبيت وعنه وماتوا شاب قلب الشبايا وكل القلوب من غلا
show for this week.
Take care until next Saturday, same time, 10 to 5 on Planet FM 104.6
and on the web www.plantaudio.org.nz/resetter radio.